is 9 o'clock, Lisa. All right, good morning. It's 9 a.m. on January 17th, and we're here to do the budget work session with our sheriff. And I guess I would start by, first of all, Sheriff, thanking you and your staff. No question that Story County has the finest law enforcement community in the state, and that's a complete tribute to you and your staff. Moving on to the budget, before we ever get started, before we talk about any of it, I want to thank you for putting together what is, in my estimation, a phenomenal budget. And clearly you guys really dug into the nooks and crannies and took a look at everything, and we really appreciate you. You doing that. With that, I turn it to you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to present again today for next year's upcoming budget. And with this, you know, some similar concerns remain. We have worked very hard, my staff, and under the direction that I gave, that we will come in at the request this year. In my 26th year as sheriff, we've not done that. We've always shared, because my philosophy was where our budget is, it shows the board the direction the sheriff's office I'm intending to take it. We have taken those out, but the way we do the budget, it's easy for the board to see the items that I've taken out and that we nixed. There's some things that in order to match the budget, we had to cut some things we know we're going to be over in. And whether that's the most efficient way to do budgeting for record keeping, for tracking from year after year, I'm not totally convinced of that, but we are where we are. This is the budget that I present today, and again with a caveat and understanding that should issues arise throughout the year, we have always been able to come back to the board with logic and accountability for where the monies are, and we've always established that working relationship. So I think that trust is done. When we get done or towards the end of this work session, there are some talking points I just wanted to go over with the board here real quick and run through those. And with that and where we are at this year's budget, I already got a bet with Lisa that Vegas says we'll be out of here before 30 minutes. So.
All right, 30 minutes. All right, it might be doable. I think this will be the first year that I've been sitting here that we have. I'm expecting we're not going to have a callback, and I think every other year we've had a callback to try to get some things.
Unless you want to put more money back into the budget.
I think you have your answer. So I'm appreciative at the way you've approached it this year, and I know it is a little different philosophy for you than what you've done over the last number of years that you've been sitting there. I'm a strong believer that you budget to the known, and we deal with the unknown right here at the board table when it comes up. I hope and expect that you feel like you've got a relationship with this board where when something comes up, we're not going to just leave you hanging out there. I think we've demonstrated that time and again, and I would expect that to continue. So let's start with the revenue worksheet. Laura Smarty, I didn't have any questions on the revenue side. Do you guys have anything that you want to talk about there?
Tell me what the timeline is you guys would think that Dallas County will have their jail up and running.
Well, I guess my swag on that would be probably within 3 years.
Okay. So we can count on that revenue coming in for at least 2, possibly 3 years.
Well, when Dallas County started, there was an understanding, and it was our hopes from the indications we got from Dallas County, that they'd be bringing us in and would be holding at least 10 on a daily basis. And it went down to, there's been several times, we've only had one. We have one of their problem females that they got to keep segregated from the other females there. So we've been holding her. But now I think we have 4 males and 1 female that we're holding, and that's kind of where that's been. So that hasn't been the boon that we had hoped it would have helped in revenue. So if Dallas County dropped out, it wouldn't be anything that we would, we'd
you're expecting it, no, it wouldn't be that big a pull down on revenues that it would cause a problem for you.
No.
Okay. Now that's just the one that jumps at me.
And on that same line, are the Department of Justice prisoners included in the estimate of about $250,000 in revenue that is for the care of prisoners? Because that's it. Marty was asking about Dallas County, but also, yeah, are the for the money we get for ICE, from ICE, is that also in the $250,000 estimate?
John?
It would be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was as well as, yep, that's Marshall, right now we're at the Marshall.
Okay, got it. So this is everybody.
The problem is where... best year we've had with the U.S. Marshals, we brought in over $650,000 in revenue because we held an average of 20 federal marshals, and that was great. But when the prosecutions dropped out on the federal side, so did our prisoners. So we get a problematic prisoner from the marshals that they got to keep segregated now and then. ICE is coming in with a little bit, but it's so up and down. It's really difficult to gauge an exact estimation on the revenues that's going to bring, because it's just literally each day it's up and down.
I understand that, which is why I just kind of wondered there. Yeah. And then, when you talk about this problem person from Dallas County or problem person from the Marshals, then that increases our internal costs. Doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Because when I talk problem prisoners, generally they aren't disruptive, or they aren't the kind of prisoners that have a lot of medical issues, because we generally don't take those.
Okay.
And we don't, and if we would take one that has medical, it's in our understanding and contract with them that they take care of all medical costs, and we don't pay any of those. When I say a troublesome inmate, which would be troublesome in Dallas County, if they have a case where they have three inmates that were arrested and one's snitching or going to testify on the other ones, they got to keep them separate, so they bring them up here as a way of separating those inmates from one another, so they can't get at the guy who's going to testify against them, or they can't change his testimony before court.
Okay. Hey, thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on the revenues?
None.
All right, so we'll go to expenses. So I'm going to just skip to the end and start there, and then we'll work our way back up. So this budget represents, I'm going to call it equal last year. It's actually a little better if we make a couple of adjustments that I think we need to make. But it's actually potentially reducing operating expenditures for the sheriff year over year. I think that's unbelievable, Sheriff. So I'll talk about the two areas I want to talk about, and then board will go back to the top and go through anything anybody else wants to talk about. First one is we got $56,000. So I'm all the way down. I'm on page 155, middle of the page, equipment, rent, and maintenance. And in that $177,630, we've got $56,000 in changeover costs for vehicles. So we've got in the budget to buy 7 vehicles this year, just because of the cyclical nature. They're all patrol vehicles, which means we've got some increased changeover, as I understand it. We've always had, so we buy vehicles out of line 99. But yet we equip them out of the sheriff's budget. And the sheriff and I spoke earlier this year and agreed, I believe we agreed, that it doesn't make sense. That's all part of purchasing the vehicle. So it's $8,000 per patrol vehicle to get them changed over. Is that right?
That depends on their needs. I think the average comes out to that. There might be one vehicle when they change equipment over, the light bar might be bad and have to be replaced.
Okay.
Where another vehicle, they might not have to have anything replaced. I mean, it's just, but it averages out what we have is a good
estimate. So for 7 vehicles, that's how we got to the $56,000.
Yeah,
what I'm suggesting is that the $56,000 be pulled out of that line item of equipment, rent, and maintenance, and be put in line 99 with the purchase of the vehicle, because I think that is part of getting a vehicle ready to go for the sheriff's office. And if that happens, and that's why I hedged a little on the end, if that happens, then in fact we are going to see a reduction bottom line of operational costs for the sheriff. Sheriff, you got thoughts on where that 56, or not even, it's 56 this year, it was 33 and some change last year. Where that money sits in the budget, does it matter to you, or is it just part of?
Well, it certainly matters, and again, where we come in, I think, as we present the budget to you, that we're $1,000 over approximately where operating budget was last year. But there's some things, such as in the talking points, that we had to buy this year that we did not expect that are carrying over into this next year that is even taking us down. With all those things considered, what we're bringing is $12,000 less last year. So if this $56,000 is taken out of the budget, that certainly will reduce our operating costs further. Now, with that said, those are the vehicle changeovers to make sure the lights and sirens and all the cages and all that goes in from the old vehicles to the new vehicles, but that's one quarter of my fleet. And so the other three quarters of my fleet throughout the year, there's going to be things that break on those or go bad. And sure. So we still have line items, so we can take care of those costs as a...
But that's included in the 177, right? The 56. So the $177,000 in the line item. And as I understand it, 56 of that is the expected changeover. And then everything else that would go on with the fleet would still be in that. That's ongoing maintenance as I see it. Mm-hmm. And where I'm drawing the line, Sheriff, and we just need philosophically to get to where we're going to be, until you receive the new vehicle ready to go on the road, it's still part of us acquiring equipment.
Yes.
Once you receive it and it goes on the road, then it becomes a matter of maintenance of the equipment, and that belongs in this line item. I just don't think getting it to you originally, where the first time it's ready to go on the street, I think that's all part of the acquisition, and it's the reason I'd like to roll all that together in line 99.
I agree.
Marty, Morris, you guys following that conversation and why we're having
it? I'm following it. I guess just my question for Lisa is that when we purchase vehicles in other departments, is that how we normally handle it? I know that there's a lot of special equipment that goes into a vehicle purchase for the Sheriff's Department. But if Secondary Roads needs something else.
Secondary Roads purchases all their own. So that's not... a good comparison.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
I'm
just saying that that's not
right. A good comparison is facilities is requesting a truck this year.
Okay.
And in that request is the snow equipment, the whatever else they need.
Yeah, they need the Tommy gate that lifts them up and down. When we give them the vehicle, it's got all the equipment on it that they need.
We budgeted all in 99.
My only, I'm just surprised that this hasn't done previous because, you know, you have, as Rick says, you go through equipment, firearms, vehicles, and whatnot that I would have thought that would already been built in, but if we're now doing it now, I have comfort in doing it. I think it makes sense.
It's quite frankly a decision for the board to make on a year-by-year basis.
Okay. Well, I don't have a historical foundation. I was looking for that. To me, it would make sense to do on the secondary roads example.
Part of the understanding is that the board's very much aware, and we've certainly seen it in the last 2 years, is a continual evolution of the police profession. Mm-hmm. And where we either go from Ferguson or whatever, and we acquire equipment for our squad cars to make us better, to protect the officer, and to protect the county from liability. As the example, Story County is one of the few law enforcement agencies in America that had body cameras for all our people 2 years before Ferguson happened. And so now we're still looking where other agencies are still looking to get body cameras, and I don't know how they're operating this day and age without them. But as things go on, part of as we do the budget, we'll be bringing to the board if there's a new piece of equipment that's out there that we feel is necessary for the cars, we'll be having that discussion with the board and bringing that forward there.
Yes. And then the other thing I want to underscore for the board, because this board wasn't seated when we went through trying to establish what we were going to do with vehicles every year, is the previous board committed to the sheriff that we would purchase 7 new vehicles a year. It had kind of been on a roller coaster, right? We were buying 4 one year and then coming back and maybe having 10, and then and we just got into this straight line where it's going to be 7. You're going to monitor which 7 those are and get the ones replaced. I mean, it's kind of on a schedule, but occasionally there's one that we need to slip in to put in. Now, this board absolutely has its own authority to change anything like that. This budget reflects 7 new vehicles, and that's what we've done. Is this 3 years now that we've done it this way?
Well,
4 years?
We reality is the 26 years being sheriff, that also has changed.
Right.
When I first started, I wanted to bring all the vehicles on that kind of rotation. We would do that for a couple of years. The board makeup would change, and then we'd have to go back to
right.
And it'd be up and down. But now we're back to where we're doing it. When we first did this, remember, the first year we bought 8 vehicles.
Right.
And then it was going to be 7 after that.
Right.
So we still have that one bump every fourth year. Is that correct, Leanna?
Yes.
I remember what we're counting on is one of those is like a van and one of the, you know, there's some different kinds of vehicles in there. But I remember the first time, Sheriff, that I sat down in that chair, actually, and we had this conversation. We were down to nitpicking over which cars you guys were talking about changing. And that, to me, is ridiculous for the Board of Supervisors to be weighing in on anything like that. It's our job to give the sheriff reasonable assurances of what the expectation can be, and then it's your job to manage your fleet and go. And the only reason I'm pointing that out to you guys is that was a decision that was made by a previous board that you're still bound by until such time as we collectively decide to change it. I hope we don't. I hope we continue with this.
One other caveat I'd say is that this year is unique from other years because this year they're all patrol vehicles. We've had some unmarked along with the marked, some from the general fund, some from the rural fund. These vehicles, I believe, will probably all be from rural fund since they're all patrol vehicles. But the rural fund expenditures, again, is the pleasure of the board.
Correct. The purchase of the vehicles is the board's discretion, whether it's the general or the rural. And I appreciate the fact that I try to put them in there. If they're patrol vehicles, they go in the rural to start with, and then we make up a minute for some money. Now, I do want to point out that I'm going to do only general fund countywide for the 56,000.
Okay.
No matter what, no matter where the vehicles are going to be purchased from, we're going to put it in the general fund and countywide.
Okay.
Correct, but it'll still be 99.
Yes.
Right.
Countywide.
It just, yeah, general fund as opposed to real fund.
Sheriff, it sounds like when you said when you first came on that you wanted to do kind of a more even rotation. You're back to that now, and you have a comfort level with that, right? That's what you would prefer?
I've always preferred that. That's the only way that I can consistently budget within my office from year to year to year. If one year I got to buy 14 cars and the next year 2 cars, I mean, it's just so up and down, and it makes my budget look like it's out of whack as well. But the more consistent I can be in the number of vehicles each year, some vehicles might have less miles and be in much better shape, but that reflects back in the trade-in that we get for that vehicle. So it's offsetting, and it keeps us on that rotation, and specifically from a budgetary standpoint, I think it's the best way to go.
Okay. Sounds like there was very sound reason for this board switch, and it seems to make sense to stay there, barring some really extreme factor that might come up.
We have the dollars, I think. We are the recipients of good budgeting, both on that side of the table. On this side of the table, puts us in a position you can commit to a number certain rotation.
All right, so I'm suggesting that line equipment rent and maintenance go from 177,630 to 121,630, with the understanding that 56,000 will simply roll down and be added into 99 when we get there. And then the other question I had is more of a general question, Sheriff, and I hope you could just talk me through it. So philosophically, I appreciate the detail that you put in your budget here and really value how you and your staff are trained. That said, philosophically, I struggle with large amounts in miscellaneous, and there's a lot of miscellaneous training in here in different categories. Granted, almost all of it, you reduce some over what was initially requested, but I was hoping you could just talk us through the concept of miscellaneous training. We got a lot of really specific training in here, so talk us through that.
Well, first of all, at the Sheriff's Office, we've always believed highly in education and training for all our personnel. I think that makes for a better, more professional agency and a more responsive agency to the community that we serve. But not only does it make for better employees, but it also makes for a safer environment for our employees, and it also provides insulation for the county for liability and issues that come up in those regards. Now, this budget, we all understand, we're projecting 18 months out. And there are things that happen overnight in law enforcement in some big city that will literally impact how law enforcement is done across the country. One of the major things that has come out of the White House recently is training in de-escalation. It's been a term that's been around. I've been in my 42nd year of law enforcement. We've always talked about de-escalation. But the escalation, de-escalation matrix that was used in my training 40 years ago is different than the type of de-escalation that we're working with law enforcement now. We also have other tools that play into that. We have stun guns, which was only a Star Trek feature when 40 years ago when I was in law enforcement. I mean, there's things that we use now that's in that continuum that were never there. So, you know, with 86 employees and the in four standalone divisions, not counting administration, we do have things that come up that are unforeseen that we need, in our opinion, we need to send our people to. And I think this is something that we can put, each division puts a miscellaneous amount, so much per officer in training, and it might end up that, as an example, in the patrol division, they might have X amount per deputy for training. They might only send six or seven deputies to that, but something comes up in the jail where they have to send literally everybody, and usually training, it's not always here or in Des Moines at ILAA. We sometimes have to send people to different places. Sergeant Nicolini is in Washington, D.C. today at a DHS meeting working on drones that we'll talk about here a little bit later. But I've assigned him to a committee that I chair at DHS, and he's going to represent law enforcement segment on that at DHS. So as we continue to work through the upcoming year, one aspect when we have training that we feel at the command level is appropriate, we want to get our people to as quickly and effectively as we can. And on the other hand, every time we have something that comes up as an elected official, I also don't want to come to the board and say, Mother, may I, for additional funds for everything that we do. And in my 25 years as being Story County Sheriff, I think each board has seen demonstration from this agency that we don't recklessly spend money or at the end of the year go out and try to buy everything we can under the sun. Anything that I buy, I've always viewed our budget as a contract with the board. And if there's something outside our budget that I need to modify or change, I come and talk to the board about it first so you have an understanding and you're just not blindsided by it. So with that said, I think the money is appropriately placed in here for miscellaneous training. I think it's placed in good hands with the Sheriff's Office, and I think the county can rest comfortably knowing that.
Yeah, and I appreciate the explanation, and like I say, I'm not suggesting a change. I just wanted you to talk through it for just a minute about why it's there. All right, so those are my questions. Marty Morris, questions you have on the expenditure side?
I have one that I marked several places, and this comes from now, as we're in the union contracts and now learning more about it from, I guess, the manager side. Okay. And in the several places, it talks about that there are allocations for uniforms in several different categories here, and then it will say, like, sheriff cut so much money off of it. And I thought uniforms were used to be part of the contract, so, or still are. I'm still learning what is or whatever. So how do we cut something if it's negotiated in a contract? Or have I misunderstood?
Well, the union negotiations outside of salary and benefits and things like this, the operational parts of my contract, I don't view as covered by a union contract. I use view as what I have here to operate my sheriff's office with. And if we have to equip our personnel, whether it's with training or uniforms or whatever the necessity is at the time, we find that within our budget. And later on, if we have to cut something, keep in mind, in the budget that we're doing here, from about an $8.5 overall million-dollar budget, we're trying to maintain where other costs go up. We're trying to still put a size 7 shoe foot into a size 5.5 shoe. So it's going to be tight, and we realize that. But again, with the working relationships we've had with the board for the past few years here, this is something that we feel we can manage.
Yeah, and Lois, I'd just say this is external from anything that might be in the bargaining unit contract.
Okay.
And so these would be the equipment pieces beyond anything that might be reflected in the contract.
Thank you. Okay, that's where I was stuck, because I think you're identifying the dollar.
Yeah, and where it says sheriff cut, what the sheriff is telling us there is when he got the original budget here, he went in and he made his own cuts to get this budget as tight as it is, but he wanted us to be aware of all of those places that he made cuts, again, with the philosophy, I think, with the philosophy being you want the board to be aware of what the true needs are, and then you cut back from there in order to put together a budget that fits what we requested.
A lot of these things you see we've asked for year after year after year, but we just aren't able to afford to do. We can give several examples of that, too. But.
Okay. Well, it was helpful to hear it covers other equipment, and thank you for the clarification. I just
good.
Tried to be helpful.
Any other questions on the expense side? Marty, questions on the expense side?
Well, I appreciate it because after having just tried to read through the KUCOG, and we did some refreshment changes there, that you go to the trouble to tell us what you did and how much you did. Thank you. You know, that was last year, that's this year, and it's nice. I guess I had, from the call when I was looking through your budget, we had talked about your washing and drying machines. I'm surprised we haven't revisited those. I get the part as we come back on the amending side that we did your laptops, we did your webcam, and I expect that will just be an ongoing thing because needs come to you and your department that when they show up, they need to be addressed in real time. I live right across from your shooting range, and that is always a conversation I've had with your department over the years, and I guess I would turn to you on the expense side that I'm sitting there. I should have brought mine. Yeah, I live with those things too. I tell you, I don't know what it's about this dry air that drives me nuts. I just sit there and you got, I think this is just a placeholder amount, and there's so many moving pieces on this budget that I'm a little sheepish about even bringing it up. But you got $600 on gravel there that I suspect, from what I have seen historically, that's a pretty old gravel. So, it's on page 167.
Line item 457, correct?
Excuse me?
Line item 457, your training center.
Okay. And it's just, I think that's just a placeholder number that was done when it came to be, and I said that's not been the case. I know Darren said that they have put some out, but very little. All they're doing is trying to reshape the approach, and I think anybody that's gone out there to shoot would probably tell you it's better than using that's what Darren told me, that they're thinking about taking their hot patch machine out there this summer. They didn't do it last year, and smoothing that you're not trying to drive one side of that approach or the other. So, Secretary Rose is going to be on a gravel side, $600.
That's all you got? Okay. Good. Sheriff, if you're verbal again. Anything you want to talk about or point out from the expense side?
Yes. Can I go get a drink?
Absolutely. Take your time.
Here, we brought that.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the worst. I hate when I get one of those.
No, I'm going to have these coughing spells, but unfortunately, it. Yes, there are. Or a few things I wanted to go over with the board. Some of these things we have talked on a little bit. the changeovers, we talked about that. One of the issues that you'll see that we've reduced, and it's a reduction that we've done, but we know we're going to be over. But it's hard to predict how much. It could be a whole lot, and we might even come in pretty close. But the realization is inmate medical cost is something totally out of our reach. But in order to help this budget and still provide for the things I truly believe that the sheriff's office needs, that's where we took a major cut in this budget. So as the year goes on, and we if that line item starts to rise at a much higher expenditure percentage rate than other line items, I want the board to be aware of that, because that will be one at the end we may have to come back and say we need assistance to get through.
Sure, and we've talked about this year after year, and the commitment of previous boards, and even the commitment of this board last year when we talked about this, was we recognize, I mean, this is a number that when we have to take somebody, or when we're responsible, which we get into a whole different conversation about when we're responsible, but I don't believe it's appropriate. But when we're responsible, we're paying those bills. And whatever the number ends up being at the end of the year, we're paying that. Now, so if you look at it, what, we spent $167,000 so far this year, right, in that line item. So we're going to be over what we budgeted. We budgeted $281,000. We're going to be over, probably. But, you know, it's going to be close. And then come back with $280,000 the next year. We actually spent $286,000 in FY16 and $252,000 in FY15. So I think it's a pretty good number, with the understanding that it could, it's going to be whatever it is. We're not choosing to have that.
Because last year we paid $332,000.
Three, exactly.
So it was much higher.
Right. So, and we're on pace for about the $332,000
again. As far as not getting one bigger and not having to pay it.
What's that?
We did that last year because we did have the extra money, so we made sure, because we had the extra money, we wanted to start this year with a clean slate. So we made sure we did that. This year may be different.
There's a couple of payments already straight in medical for inmate care that I think we're more on track of paying on a regular basis as opposed to waiting until the end.
Right.
Nothing at all. So this is probably a truer picture of where we're at right now.
And John's done a lot of work at making sure he's working with Story County Medical closer. And Thrifty White has been wonderful, because now we have a better idea of our prescriptions, and we can actually track those costs easier.
John also went over and negotiated with Story County, so we got a reduced rate on the amount that we pay. So John's done a great job in managing the health care as best we can, and the contracts that we have for the doctor and the nurse has just been phenomenal. To have a nurse in the jail every day is truly, truly a benefit.
Yeah, and so for me, and I appreciate you pointing it out, I think the 280 number is a pretty reasonable number. It's probably low end reasonable, but pretty reasonable. And knowing that realistically we might end up spending $300,000, we could end up spending $400,000. I mean, it could just happen, and we're going to have to remain committed to the concept that this is not something we choose. This is, you know, we're going to pay whatever we got to pay on this.
Well, you guys are spending a lot of monetary money.
Every extra dollar is deemed legally wise. I think it's always an issue. We're talking to a few things, and Ethan and all the other people that have read it shows that that's something the prisons don't even touch that.
John has directed multiple times in the year to contact the state jail administrator, because I challenge them continually on things I think should be taken out of the inmate commissary that I feel is a benefit. A couple of times he just chuckles and says, no, that's not going to fly. But there's...
we appreciate the challenge.
Yeah, but we do go back. There are some things we take, and I think are legitimately so, but we still have that barrier because I don't want to come back and be slapped by the state.
We need to be fair.
No, I totally understand. You know, that balance is decent, and you're bringing in about what you're spending every year. So I just, it never hurts to relook at it all the time and question.
Yeah. Okay. Another item we talked about in the past that we've taken out of the budget is safety glass from up front.
Right.
People coming up, especially now, everybody gets a concealed weapons permit. But as I understand, that's also going to be incorporated in the remodeling.
And this board is going to, I believe, is going to start the restart the conversation of redoing the entire entrance, which would include your entrance up there.
Yep.
One of the things that doesn't make any sense to me is having two separate entrances off the lobby, one to go to the jail, one to come back in the sheriff's office. I'd rather everybody be funneled to one point first where you guys can have eyes on them and be secure and then move on from there. And so there's some work that's going to happen, some conversations that are going to happen this year. I wouldn't say expect any construction this year.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand that. And when you do get to that point, I'd very much like to be included in those discussions because it is kind of handy to have those two separate hallways so we're not front office over inundated with everybody coming in. But anyway, we can look at how that can be done.
That and the other reason you've got to be included in that conversation is what we're talking about with the Green Mile and how that could possibly serve some deposition rooms that could be built in there. And I'm just using kind of the initial plan that may or may not be based in reality once we start talking about this again. But the concept was there would be a couple access points where we don't have to use your multi-purpose room back in the jail for depositions any longer and free up some of that space. But I think it's going to be important that you and your staff have eyes on this thing from beginning to end.
Thank you.
How all this goes.
Just to clarify, because the Sheriff's Department was not included in the initial concept discussions that were had a couple of years ago?
So the Sheriff's Office, and they were included, but not to, so it was primarily a county attorney kind of function. I think the sheriff was included on a small portion once the architect, so the architect came and visited with you a couple of times.
There are some ancillary things that would do in, like Rick said, the deposition rooms and where that could be incorporated into the into the building, and room for expansion on recording devices and equipment because everything's going to being audio, video, and things like this. And I just ordered a new camera to be put in the hallway in the sheriff's office out there where our evidence lockers were with now that we're changing our policy for all forfeitures and seizures are going to be brought to the sheriff's office and counted and put in the evidence room. We're putting that under surveillance as well. So.
But fair for us to ask and question, the sheriff was not included in the entire concept. He was included in this portion. I'm viewing this one starting from the beginning, because that's really we're going back to the beginning of being more holistic out there and looking at everything.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Anything else we need to talk about?
Yep. About three more things, and we'll be done real quick. One of these things that we cut out is drones, and I put together a committee in the sheriff's office to study this. One of the things that came that really brought the idea of making a committee and seeing what kind of drones that we would like to have in the sheriff's office began last summer, where we had a guy who was in the middle of a burglary, was interrupted, assaulted, and was going to kill the property owner, but escaped into a cornfield. We had the field surrounded most of the day with a variety of agencies up there, and we called the State Patrol for their plane to come up with FLIR, forward looking infrared device, and they said, no, we don't have pilots available, which is code talk for the state saying we're so far in debt with budget we ain't sending an airplane up. So anyway, we called the National Guard. And they told us, they usually had in the past had helped with us with a helicopter with FLIR, but they said, no, the state's got that capability, they can do it, we aren't going to do their job. So in the end result is we have nothing. Marshall County and Boone County, I think, had a deputy come over that they had their, they had a drone, but, you know, it's one of these Mattel-type drones that you get for a couple $100 that has a camera on it, make it, you know. But in a cornfield, when the corn's that high, you aren't gonna, you need the infrared device in order to find where the person is. So we're looking at a variety of things we can do, and we're finding from all angles of public safety, fire applications, law enforcement applications, and EMS applications, where drones can be effective. We're looking at the range of a cap of $18,000 to $20,000 for a drone. Ideally, we'd like to have two of them. Life battery is 20 minutes, so one will go out and hover over the area and search the area. But about 15 minutes later, it comes back automatically and lands so it can be recharged. With the idea is that we'd always have that capability of having one there. And one of the other points talking about is the RSV program. We're talking with them about bringing in grant writers to help us look and see where we can find funding, perhaps, for drones. And, you know, even if I have to fund one, maybe we find a second one through the grant program. But we're looking to see what we can do in this day and age. That's just another piece of equipment that's out there. But there's a lot of study to be done with drones, and that's why I've assigned Nick Lenny to this DHS task force, and Gary Backus, Nick Lenny, and a couple others are on the committee, the drone committee, in the sheriff's office, researching to see what we need. But I want this to be on the horizon of the board, that I feel strongly this is a piece of equipment that is important. It not only can be used by law enforcement, but as I said before, fire, EMS, and when we do fast water rescue in this,
sure,
they even have where life vests are delivered by drones in certain areas and drop down to somebody in the middle, so you don't have to there's a lot of capabilities that come from drones. So anyway,
and I would add emergency management to the list that you just mentioned there, and I would think,
yep,
that there's some grant opportunities probably through emergency management, not to purchase an entire drone,
yeah,
but to assist with something.
Yep, and when we get our person, RSVP Betty Borchella, who's
right,
she's retired from there, but she's still our kind of our liaison there. So anyway, we're trying to, when she comes back and gets back functioning again, then we'll be working with her and others from RSVP to help us with that. And then,
just a question about the drones.
Yes.
For at least drones operated by the public, the commercial type drones, don't people still have to have a pilot's license?
That's part of what we're looking at. Right now we had in the budget for, it was either three or four deputies to go to the class to receive their drone license. But again, looking back to see is what we have, and the license for the drone pilot is not all that expensive, and anybody can. But here again, since we're at a governmental entity that we are, we want to make sure that we have, you know, as much liability protection for the county that we do. So we want to make sure we do it right and what's recommended by FAA and DHS.
Sure, and so I fully support you getting as educated as possible as possible, and absolutely see a time where Story County will be in the drone ownership business. But in the meantime, as I understand it, there is a local company that has a commercial drone that does the infrared and does things like that. And I would just, and I can get offline and I can give you the contact information, but it might be worth reaching out to them just to have them in your back pocket if you get this cornfield thing again, where they can get out and assist.
Absolutely. Well, I'll have, after this, I'll have Lieutenant Backus send you an email address for that information, and he's head of that committee. So Gary will follow up with you and get that information. We'll look into it.
Good.
And then the last thing that I had that I wanted to visit with you about was last year we talked about the dispatch councils, and we were going to bring them in, but we didn't have the bids. We didn't have the agencies that had ready to deliver councils. So we tabled that, we've looked at that, and the committee has come to me with the type of councils that we would like, but now what we've done is not only the councils, but they got to be installed and wired. So we're working with Joby at Facilities Management and others so we can get a total true cost for wiring and installation, and got that right, didn't I? we're getting close to coming to the board, and that's a side item from this budget, but I just want you to let you know.
That's money that, so you're talking through the dollars that flow with that. As I recall, it's like $60,000, that's the number that's
approximately what we're looking at for the councils.
But we had talked about doing it at the end of last budget year because we had money in the budget last budget year. Didn't do it, so that money came back to the county.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have that same conversation again at doing it part of FY18 fiscal year, or do you think the timing is going to be such that it's going to spill over?
Well, I think what we're looking at doing is trying to get it done this fiscal year. Now that we have the councils identified to what we want, we're working with Joby and others to see that all the ancillary costs that will come into that, it's already done and ready to be set. And
Board, do you remember that conversation about why we were talking about going to one additional, getting everything replaced?
Yes.
I'd like to just put on here, though, I'll just put this before you get in touch with us. As we talk about councils going in, I would like you to speak to the 911 system that, as it approaches us, that discussion on going forward, where we're at, as your perspective.
Well, as Board knows, the Board Supervisor, the 911 Board has, through a bid process, has selected Mission Critical Partners for our consultant. And they started the first phase of this, and we're look to see what our needs are. And now we're going out, getting ready to accept their pricing for phase two of this, which, Dina, is approximately
$134,000. For Mission Critical Partners.
Yeah. So let's just be clear what happened. So we did phase one. So E911 contracted with Mission Critical to do phase one, which was to come in, and I'm oversimplifying here, but come in and take a look at our system and see if it suited our needs, which, you know, you could have given me a dollar and I could have told you it didn't suit our needs. But they came in and they looked at it and they looked at what our options were and completed phase one. Now we're talking about moving to phase two, which is actually selecting. We got three options, as I understand it, from two good options, but three options overall from what they came back with, but really trying to figure out who we're going to partner with in this build-out. But my understanding, and help me with this, is that E911 doesn't have the $134,000 to fund phase two, and so that's a request that's going to come before the Board of Supervisors, Ames City Council, and Iowa State University. And if I'm missing all that, tell me. But that's my understanding of how this was progressing.
Well, you know, there's you are correct. There is some discussion that as we move forward, maybe everyone has to have skin in the game. And instead of dividing it up three ways, there's discussions going on, as I understand it, maybe dividing it up four ways, getting the smaller communities. They don't have a lot, but a little bit. But there's other entities out there that should maybe be kicking in, such as Mary Greeley and Story County Hospital, and seeing where those dollars come from. But that's a discussion to be had, and as we talked earlier, that's exactly why I came to the Board and why Chief Sykosh went to Ames and the Iowa State Chief went to Iowa State University. That was before Chief Newton's time, but he's there now and supportive on this as well. So this is something that everyone knows is well outside the capabilities of 911 funding this. And this is why we've elevated it to the level that we did, because you guys and your peers at your level were the funding deciders are going to be on how we're going to do that and how we're going to pay for that. So.
Sure. And I mean, let's just be really clear what it looks like. I try to say this every time I get a chance, because I don't want the first time the Board hears this to be the first time they've heard it. And that is, we're talking about $134,000 for the contract with Mission Critical to, on a continuing basis, to help us through the process of selecting who will provide the best service at the best cost. Then we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 million for the entire build-out and equipment costs for all of Story County. And trying to figure out exactly how all that is going to fit together in the next 18 to 24 months is an interesting calculus problem, right? And so we got a lot of work to do on that front. But E911 has done exactly what they were supposed to do to get us to this point. Now it's going to be really interesting to see how the different entities have their conversations about coming together to truly get something done. That is, I mean, we're in We're one step ahead of the strings on the cans, but when we got first responders who are, their best bet is to go to their iPhones rather than going to the radio.
And they do.
Exactly.
And you know, the problem is the equipment that we're currently operating on, a number of years ago, they quit making that equipment.
Right.
And so for the past 3 or 4 years anyway, at least, whenever we've had a breakage, the vendor that we're using is has to go around to other agencies that's getting new systems and see if they can salvage from their old systems the parts needed to keep limping our system through. And Mission Critical Voice is something that is an absolute criticality in all public safety and something we can't do without. And then just one other thing, when you talked about the three options and you know, who we're going to partner with, I look at that we're partnering with Mission Critical
right.
Communications, and the others are merely vendors.
Right.
And Mission Critical is going to negotiate with those vendors, because the thing that I do like the most is that Story County 911 has moved past using our vendor as our consultant. And so that is something that I'm very excited about. I'm also very appreciative that the board has taken the stance and the support that they've given 911 and partnering with us to work through this entire thing. Now, before I end here, I want to turn it over to Captain Thomas. Is there anything that Barry would like to...
Zero.
Nothing? Connie?
Okay.
Any of the staff?
I would just ask, as we move, this is from the mental health, and it speaks to your training, though, our concern about the general dollars invested there, as we've seen telesites and telemed from the jail. My question is, when we have discussions in the regional setting, CIT training, where are you guys at on a departmental basis now?
We're going to issue our hope, we can get some of our general staff to do that, because it's going to be local, so we'll take advantage of that.
Okay.
And that's another thing that instigated through the county attorney's office. But with not having the history of years ago, we had gone through a CIT program early on. Deb is aware of that. And back in Gene Deisinger's day, he was here, and we had a combination of Ames, Iowa State, and Story County all come together. We all received CIT training. The concept was, with the CIT trainers available, if Story County needed one and the CIT person was on days off, then Ames or Iowa State would send somebody out. Same way with us. If their person was off, Story County deputy would go into Ames or Iowa State and provide that CIT service. Both Deisinger moving on, we lost our grant that helped us do that, and it just kind of fell apart, and resources just weren't there to continue it. But now there's a resurgence to bring this back, and county attorney's office is spearheading it. And so as we evolve, it's one of these things that I hope it's successful. What I've seen in the past, there's a lot of pitfalls that we're going to be looking at, but I'm not going to sit here and a sheriff and say, no, we're not going to be involved in something like a crisis intervention.
But in another, along those lines, one of the things we're really excited about, and Deb, I want to ask you to speak to this for just a second to make sure we've got the sheriff and much of the staff here. Talk a little bit about the crisis facility that we expect to have operational August 1st and the kind of impact that that's going to have for our first responders in the cases of law enforcement.
Right. So Story County is working with Mary Greeley Medical Center and the Central Iowa Community Services Region on pulling together the Crisis Stabilization Center. The location is going to be the Hazel Group Home that was historically operated by the Community Life Program, and then Optimate Life Services took over those services. They've been using it as a group home, but knew that there could be an alternative use for that particular location. So the region is looking at Mary Greeley's proposal. I believe they're getting ready to set up a contract with them to start this service August 1st. Optimate knows that they need to vacate the premise by June 1st. That's how the lease is set up. We just met them on Monday to solidify that. And then the county has partnered with a architect. We went through an RFP process. We have an architect on board who's going to look at making improvements within that group home to make it quote-unquote site safe. and make it more amenable to that level of service. So we'll be looking at those improvements taking place in June and July when there are no individuals actually living there, so then having the service start then August 1st. So that's taken, I don't know, a couple of years in the making to actually come to fruition. But it will stay an 8-bed facility like it is right now, but then 2 or 3 of those beds are going to be dedicated to crisis stabilization, and then the rest of the beds will be transitional living, so somebody could stay there for up to 90 days while a plan for discharge is being put into place, and we know where that individual is going to move on. If they need more than just the 2 or 3 crisis beds, they can look at pulling additional beds in as the demand is needed. But I think it's only going to be the second or third kind of service of its kind available in the state. So I think the region and Story County is a little protective of it because we want to make sure that it's individuals here that are being able to access the service. But the hope is it's a place where individuals can be admitted to, and so there isn't that long wait at the emergency room where officers have to stay until somebody's admitted or decided to be admitted to the ER. We're hoping that it does also lighten the load of the ER visits that Mary Greeley sees. So I know I talked to Carla Webb, and the region is gearing up to pull together a meeting with all law enforcement within the region to talk about that service as well as the mobile crisis response that's being put into place and an ACTS team, assertive community treatment team. So those are all three newer services that are going to be available here in Story County region-wide.
A couple things. Is that modeled after what Blackhawk County was doing and Polk County?
Similar. Blackhawk County, as I understand it, theirs is primarily a crisis stabilization unit, so it's meant for short term.
Mm-hmm.
And what Polk County was doing was an observation unit, so it had this medical component to it and was there for people could go there for primarily 24 to 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So crisis stabilization can be the way Mary Greeley program is going to be set up. Crisis stabilization will be for 3 to 5 days, and then they could, the individual, depending on their needs, could be moved into a transitional living bed right there, or they may be doing well enough to go back to their own place. Or
great. How many beds are you looking at?
Well, the facility, it's an 8-bed facility right now as a group home. We're keeping all 8 of those beds, and Mary Greeley is just for planning purposes right now, looking at 2 to 3 of those beds for crisis stabilization and the remainder beds for transitional living. But if they need to pull more beds into the crisis stabilization, depending on demand, they'll certainly do that. They've got that flexibility.
Now, if you're talking regionalization, will that be something, if this is adopted where the region is paying for it, will then the other counties in the catchment area be utilizing that as well?
They'll have access to it, yes. The region is, the contract with Mary Greeley to pay for the service is with the region, so that does mean that the region, the 10 counties, do have access to it. Story County is, we've funded the architect, and then we're working with the region on the region funding the improvements.
But we'll continue to own the building.
Yes.
Well, it's much more fortunate that it's in Story County.
Absolutely.
Instead of somebody 3 counties away thinking they're going to drive somebody over, it's...
We were fortunate that Mary Greeley wanted to partner up, and they have been toiling behind the scenes, making this kind of pass. There's been a lot of their lift, too. But on the regional side of things, there's the discussions being had at the admin level, not yet come to the governance board yet. The conversion cost, a lot of it will be, you know, possibly borne by the region. It will not come out of the Story County Commission.
Including even the physical, or are we still looking at our costs for the remodel?
Looks to me at this point, Laura, and nothing's final, but it looks to me like we county will fund the planning for it. Region will fund or largely fund the remodel.
Yes.
And then region will fund through Mary Greeley the actual provision of the services, but the county's skin in the game, the lease, that we propose to Mary Greeley that I think has not been finalized, but is close to being finalized with Mary Greeley. Well, we give a dollar a year in rent to Mary Greeley for the first 2 years, so we got some skin in the game there. So this is a conversation. Deb and I first met with people at Mary Greeley with this concept. Has it been 3 years, 2 years? Yeah, I mean, it's been multiple years ago, and it's been this stop and start process to get to this point. Deb, as she does with everything, has really been way through this thing. We're fortunate that it fit in to Mary Greeley's strategic plan, and the hospital trustees absolutely bought in, as well as the director of Mary Greeley Medical Center. And so there's some exciting components that go along with this, including increasing our psychiatric staff locally, Mary Greeley increasing their psychiatric staff to the point that, as I understand it, the plan is that they would have time available for other entities to utilize, to contract with Mary Greeley to utilize that individual. And all those things are so important to us as we look at trying to complete the spectrum of service that we have here in Story County. I mean, regionally, but the three of us and you, we worry about Story County. Okay, super.
Well, I lost my bet, so...
That's all right, but it was a good hour, and I just want to point this out. So with the change we made, comparing apples to apples, comparing last year's operational budget to this year's operational budget, but moving the changeover cost of vehicles out of both of them. So last year, $8.5 million total budget for the sheriff. But always remember, over 80% of that is in personnel costs. I mean, that's where the cost of providing public safety rightly is. But it was $1,469,370 in operational costs that we budgeted last year. And this year, in a $9 million budget overall, because personnel costs are absolutely going up, it's $1,468,930. Less. It is. I mean, anything consistent or down is unbelievable. Sheriff, you're to be completely commended, not only for the job you do, but the way you do it.
So well, the commendation goes to the staff. And not only did we absorb this year's budget less that we're sitting here in front of you with, but we're also absorbing the Lexapol for records, policy and procedures that we're doing in the jail, and also the $5,000 for PREA that was not in last year's budget. So we're coming in significantly under, and we appreciate the cost of the vehicle changeovers being moved. But this is the practice in motion here.
I'll say it again. I've said to you probably 8 different times now, and I'll say it to you again. I am absolutely committed to you having what your office needs to continue to do what you do. I'm appreciative. I mean, it's no big secret, Sheriff. First time we sat down, I brought a little different philosophy to the way we budgeted. And I appreciate while you still are not entirely convinced it's the right way to go, I appreciate that this budget coming straight out of the gate absolutely reflects that philosophy, which is let's budget for what we know, and we'll deal with what we don't know when it comes to this. And trust us to be a partner with you in that.
Well, I do trust the board to be a partner in that, and there's just also understand that from my standpoint that there are things that are out of both your and my control that may develop through the year, and without the safety net of the, you know, the budget that we have, I feel comfortable with the board we have. I just hope nothing changes.
Absolutely.
And drive safe.
Absolutely. And that's the difference is. Absolutely. We'll be careful. Anything else for us today? Anything else for us today?
No.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.